Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 35. God says in His Word that there is nothing that can come your way that you are not able to bear. In other words, there's nothing that happens that God will permit that He will not give you a provision for, that you don't have the capacity for. If it is, in fact, that you don't have the capacity, God will not allow it to happen. He's very good at turning the tide in that respect. He's very good at orchestrating. And so, if something happens and God has allowed it, then this is something that God has permitted, knowing that any temptation that comes your way, there is a way of escape. Any trial that comes your way, you are able to bear it. Now, it may take you to the maximum of your capacity, but it will not go beyond your capacity. It may challenge you to think in grace. It may challenge you to operate in faith. That there is nothing that happens that you are not able to bear. God said so. As a believer, I have to be careful not to tell myself, I can't bear this. What I'm doing at that point is I'm focusing on the difficulty of the trial, but I'm not focusing on the faithfulness of God in the trial. What I'm not designed to bear is the notion that God is not faithful. Things become overwhelming to me. Things become difficult to me to the point where I cannot bear them when I take on things that God hasn't given. If I take on thinking that God hasn't given, then challenging circumstances will be too difficult for me, because I'm not using the provision that He's given me for that trial. If I have to cross the Atlantic, I'm much better off using a provision than trying to do it on my own. In other words, the boat or the airplane is much more effective at crossing the Atlantic than I am swimming. But sometimes we believers, we reject the provision that God has for whatever reason, and there can be any number of reasons. But we reject the provision that God has, and then we say, I can't bear it. Well, of course not. Or we say it's overwhelming. Well, of course it is. God never said that you are up to the challenge. God said His faithfulness is up to your challenge. And apart from His faithfulness, I can do nothing. Now, when I appropriate that which God has given me for the circumstances that I am in, then I can do all things through Christ, because it's Him that's strengthening me. But if I reject the provision of Christ strengthening me, then I can do nothing. And everything is overwhelming. Most frequently, the acceptance or the rejection of the provision comes in what I focus on in the circumstance. When I am in the circumstance, if I focus on the difficulty or the situation, the details of it, then certainly it will be overwhelming, because I will recognize that I in myself am not up to the task. But if I fellowship with the promises of God, If I meditate on the Word of God, if I draw near to God, then the task is really nothing. Because it's not my task. It's God's task. But the only way that in my practical experience I can know what it means for my situation to be God's problem is to believe and rest in the promises of God. And so I turn to the Word of God and I find the promises of God for my situation. Then I mix faith with what I've read or heard, and it starts to profit me. It starts to produce its fruit in me. It starts to allow me to rest. Do you know people who have no rest? They haven't rested in the promises of God. You see, it's not that God won't be faithful to them in the trial. It's they don't believe when He says that He will be. Now, I may go out to do something, let's say, I don't know, build a house. And if I have the ability, then there is no reason why I could not build that house. But maybe there is someone who doesn't trust my ability to build the house. And therefore, and maybe it's a house that I'm building for them. And therefore, they're not resting in the fact that they will receive a house from me for them. Because they will in fact say, you don't really have the ability, or you don't really want to do it, or you don't really something or another. But if that person says, oh, I know who you are, I know your character, I know that if you say you can build a house, you can build a house, I know if you say you will give it to me, you will give it to me, then that person is actually not just resting, but perhaps quite excited about the fact that they're going to get a house. Likewise with God. If I trust the promises of God, and I trust the character of God, I can rest completely and fully, no matter what type of a trial or circumstance, good or bad, comes my way. Because I know it's God who is faithful and God who does it. And not only do I know that it's God who does it and is capable of doing it, I also know that He will do it. Very frequently, it's not difficult for us to acknowledge the fact of God's ability, but we're simply saying, I don't know if He wants to do it for me, or if He will do it for me. Where in the Bible did God say to someone who came to them with a need, no, do it yourself? Can you imagine that? Jesus, heal me. No, do it yourself. Jesus, feed me. No, do it yourself. No, that's not God. And that's not the way He is, and that's not the way He operates, and that's not the way He thinks. Faithful is He who promised who will also do it. Did God promise that He'll take care of all your needs? Then He'll also do it. Did God promise that if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you? Then He'll also do it. Did God promise that no matter what state you find yourself in, He will uphold you with His hand? Then He'll also do it. The experience that I have in the difficult times does not have to be a difficult experience. The experience that I have at all times can be a very rich and rewarding experience. It largely depends on what I believe. And if I believe what God has said, then I will have very few problems and really healthy blood pressure. That's simply the way it works. Now, in Isaiah 35 and verse 4, the Word of God says, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then all the lame men leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Now, God did not say there will be no desert. God said there will be a desert. Brace yourself, the desert is coming. There will, it has been preordained by God, be deserts in your life. But don't be afraid of those deserts, he says. Because he will come and he will bring you streams in your deserts. Now the desert times are when I get to know who he is. Because those are the times, and this is so much like human nature, those are the times that I'll be willing to rely on him. If all I get is times when I don't have to rely on him, I won't rely on him. I'll rely on my natural thinking, personality, ability, whatever. But I won't rely on him. But the Word of God says that apart from God, I can do nothing. So if I'm not relying on him, even when I think I don't need to, at that point, I'm operating in deception. This is why the prosperity test is the most difficult test. Because I don't think I need to rely on him. I have prosperity. I have my ability. I have my money. I have my gift. I have my whatever. And I don't think I need to rely on him. Intellect can be very damaging if it's applied in the wrong way. Education can be very destructive if it is applied in the wrong way. You can have a person who's got a PhD in whatever you want to think about, and there they think that they've grabbed the handle on things and that they don't need God anymore. Because after all, they now have certain impulses firing in the neurons in their brain, and they have certain neural pathways that have been established, and somehow that is supposed to take care of things. I have yet to see somebody's neural pathways deal with something like a hurricane, but that's what they think. And when a hurricane comes, they say, well, that's just what happens in nature. I have to accept it. Person I talked to yesterday, I asked them, what do you believe? They said, I believe in nature. I said, well, nature is very cruel. He said, so is life. I said, the thing you believe is something very cruel. The thing I believe is something very kind. I have a better God than you do. You see, God ordains the desert. Because in the desert, I learn what it means to live with God. Why? Because I'm not living with anything else. That's why it's a desert. My life has to be derived from him in the desert. Because there's no other source of life in that desert. And when the desert comes, a stream in the desert comes also. It doesn't matter what the desert is, there will be a stream. Now, the Word of God says in Isaiah 43, and verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Now, right there, it is very tempting for people to say, oh, God's going to change my circumstance. God's going to bring something new, someone new, some new job, some new whatever. No, that's not what he's saying here. said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The new thing is that your situation may be a wilderness situation. It may be a fiery trial. But God will put a stream in a desert. Now, what is a desert defined by? The lack of water. So what God says is your desert experience will no longer be a desert to you, because there will be a stream running through your desert. Well, take a look at a place like Egypt. Egypt is a desert, but there is a stream, a big fat stream in Egypt. And along that stream, millions of people are sustained. Well, we are the same way. It's not the circumstances that need to change in your life. You need to draw from the stream that God has put in your desert. God always puts a stream in your desert, and so long as you draw water from that stream, your desert is going to be a very fertile, rich land. Just like with the Nile. The Nile Valley is one of the most fertile places on earth. But it's in a desert. But there's a stream there. The fertility of the experiences in my life is not because there's a lack of need, but there's a provision in the need, for the need. And God gives me that provision. And that provision can take on any number of different forms. But if I reject the stream that God builds, then all I still have is the desert. The desert is not negotiable. But the stream always comes. That's not negotiable either. You know what's negotiable? Whether I drink from it. That's negotiable. That's my choice. But the desert will be there and the stream will be there. Then my response belongs to me. When you get into a desert situation, drink from the stream. Now in Isaiah 41:18 he says, "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." This is the believer who knows how to tap in to the streams in the desert. This is the believer who knows how to get sustained, how to find a provision from God, from His Word, from the body of Christ, from the provisions that God gives. That believer may have a desert, but the desert will turn into a very rich and fertile valley. That desert place is going to be a place that sustains life, and it sustains it abundantly. Not just in small portion, but completely and abundantly. And that place is going to be the place. What did God say to the Israelites when there was no water? "Hew out for yourself cisterns." That's the very place I hew out for myself cisterns. And I fill those cisterns with the water from the streams in the desert. When I have a cistern, then even if I'm not at the stream, I still have a provision for a time. But I need to have a cistern. Now, if I don't have a cistern, or if I don't build it well, then I'm in trouble, because then I have nothing to sustain me. In Psalm 1 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, how does he get there? Because he has not stood in the counsel of the ungodly, but in the counsel of the godly. He does not stand in the way of the sinner, but in the way of the righteous. In other words, his lifestyle is that of a believer, not that of an unbeliever. He delights in the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. Now, there's nothing here that says he will not have a desert, but it's the other way around. When he delights in the Word of God, then he is like a tree that's planted by the water. Well, can you plant a tree by the water even if it's a desert? Of course you can. Look at the Nile. Some of the most fertile land is desert land. And they plant trees there and crops there and things to sustain them there. Why? Because they have taken advantage of what God has given. Take advantage of what God has given you. If God brings a stream in your desert, don't just look at it and say, oh, it's a stream, and walk away. Get in it. Plant yourself by it. Drink from the stream. You see, your desert does not determine your fruit. Your source determines your fruit. Whether or not you have hewn for yourself cisterns. You see, in Jeremiah 2:13, he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. So on the one hand, they forsake the Word of God. They forsake the provision that He gives them in His promises, in doctrine. They forsake perhaps the assembly of the saints. And they have committed this evil. But also on the other hand, there are other believers who, though they may be there, they don't drink from what they have. They don't get saturated with the Word of God when the Word of God is present. And then when the challenge comes, they have no provision for that challenge because there is nothing in their cistern. Their cistern is empty. Well, if you have no water in your cistern, then you have no water. When the desert is there, when the wilderness is there, go to where the water is. Don't just sit down, look around and say, oh, it's a wilderness, or oh, it's a desert, woe is me. No, get off your butt and go to where the water is. And get in it. Why? Well, there's this interesting thing about streams. Streams are flowing water. When water flows, the believer's life is taken care of. This is why in the Word of God, in 1 Samuel 17:40, the Word of God is telling us about David here. He went to a stream and he pulled out five smooth stones. Five is the number of grace. Water is talking about the Word of God. We are the stones. He's taken, and this was his provision in the warfare. He's received a life, he's taken in the Word of God, and he's received a life that has been molded and smoothed by grace. And then he is able to slay the giant. He would not have been able to do anything at all with the Philistine if he had not taken smooth stones out of the water. We become smooth stones in the desert. We become smooth stones in the warfare through the Word of God. By applying the promises, by thinking correctly, by making the right choices, we become lively stones. Whatever it is that's ailing you, whatever it is that's plaguing you, whatever it is that just can't seem to get right in your life, there is a very simple solution. Turn in your Bibles for a second to Psalm 107. I want you to see this in your Bible for yourself. In verse 20, the Word of God says, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Plural. He sent specific doctrines, specific promises for every circumstance of their life, and He healed their wounded hearts, He healed their wounded emotions, He healed their broken thinking, He healed them, and not only did He heal them, but in every one of those circumstances, the Word of God delivered them. Your solution is in the Word. And as I apply the Word to my circumstances, get this, folks, you don't apply your emotions, your natural thinking, your preferences, you don't apply anything else, because there was only one thing that God sent to heal and to deliver. And that was His Word. And so you apply His Word, and it becomes a stream in your desert. Amen.